Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Thanks, Carl. Now, the HSE has warned that the current flu outbreak will peak this week over the Christmas period. While the number of recorded cases has increased to 3,548, the number of patients presenting to emergency departments with flu has decreased to 1,806 compared with 1,893 the previous week. Hospitalised flu cases have also declined, falling from 815 to 692. They do urge caution, though, as many people will be mixing over the Christmas period. For more on this now, I'm joined on the line by Tony O'Brien, former Director General of the HSE. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening, Katie.
Tony, I'm sure you had many Christmases where this was on your head. There must be some relief that it is not. What's your assessment of how the health service is coping with this one?
I think so far it's coping probably better than might reasonably be expected, given that seasonal flu has come a little earlier than it typically would. And the high level of presentations and hospitalizations, the fact that there were, as I understand it, about 157 people delayed on hospital trolleys this morning. I think 3 months ago, anyone in the HSE would have been very happy to think that that would be where they're at today, given the high level of presentations. But it's not yet time to relax, I think. The intergenerational mixing that is typically part of Christmas week does present a higher risk of transmission of influenza and other viruses, which could have an impact in the days ahead.
In terms of the health service and the vaccine take-up, is it a worry that we're still hearing that the vaccine take-up for health service staff is not where it should be?
Yeah, I think that's a constant worry and a constant struggle. But I wouldn't allow that to deflect from the importance of everybody who can have access to the vaccine getting it. Even though we're very close to Christmas now and a little bit later in the seasonal flu season than would be normal at this time of year, it is still not too late to gain some protection from the vaccine. And WHO and European Centre for Disease Control data suggests that the current vaccine is pretty effective at providing protection against the current strain, which is H3N2. So I'd encourage anyone who hasn't yet had access to the vaccine to still do so.
Should it be less barriers there for people, and should it be free?
Well, for certain at-risk groups, it already is free, but I think it would be better if it was more widely available without any cost or any barriers. It's an important public health measure. The fact that we're having this discussion today and that the hospitals and community services are facing such a high number of people with flu, which is a very significant illness, it is cause to say that we would need to remove any barriers that there might be to people accessing the flu. And I think we should be clear. We often hear of people saying they've got the flu when they've got the sniffles or a head cold. The actual flu is a very big deal. It can land you in intensive care. It does cost some people their lives. And it's a very significant illness.
Let's have a quick listen to the Chief Clinical Officer of the HSE, Colm Henry, speaking about vaccine take-up on the News at One earlier.
Well, we saw a great demand, which is very welcome, because we've seen very historically a poor demand on the nasal vaccine between the age of 3 and 17. This year it's up a little bit to 22% from 18% in that age group so far. In some areas, or we have seen from central storages, all the nasal vaccine has been distributed. Now, there are stocks held in pharmacies and GPs, but some are running low. And I would say to people that the injectable form of the vaccine is just as effective. And indeed, the latest evidence we have on the vaccine is that it remains effective even against this version of the H3N2 flu virus.
Yeah, so we're hearing there that even though that vaccine is free for people aged between 3 and 17 for children, it's still pretty low take up, and also not just free, but you know, you can get it from a nasal vaccine, which is
The nasal spray form is of course very acceptable for children because it doesn't involve a needle. It's really important we understand that of all the people who will get sick and hospitalised, 80% of them fall either below the age of 16 or over the age of 65. So while while obviously some people in the 50 years in between represent 20% of the population, this is an illness that affects people at the extreme ends of the age spectrum. And consequently, as we go about Christmas, it's important to bear in mind those we may be visiting, whether they're immunocompromised, whether they have chronic disease, whether they're already unwell. And if we ourselves have symptoms of flu or any other transmissible illness, we should consider what we can do to protect those we're visiting, which could include not visiting or could include using a mask or whatever is appropriate in the circumstances. But it's something just to bear in mind that what has become perhaps a slight pre-Christmas plateau could easily become a surge as a result of the mixing and the socialising that's a natural part of Christmas.
You mentioned masks there. Now, a family member had to go for a test to one of our hospitals in Dublin in the last few days. And they brought along a mask because they assumed, because all the talk on in the media about the flu outbreak, that this would be required or would be welcomed. But they were very surprised that there was very few people wearing masks on either side, either being treated or in the staff. Should there be more people wearing masks given what's happening?
I think at this stage, it's a matter for individual responsibility. So as I say, if you think you have symptoms, then masking would be wise. But individual hospitals or care homes will be profiling what's going on in their communities, in their hospitals. So if a hospital has one of the transmissible viruses prevalent, they will be needing to restrict the numbers of visitors. They may introduce masking requirements. But it's important that that's gone on a localized basis. We're not in the same situation that we were in during the pandemic. But in local circumstances, those types of decisions may well be appropriate. But ultimately, I do think it does come back to individual responsibility. Don't go visiting your elderly granny if you've got flu symptoms. It's really very simple.
I've got a text in there from a listener saying, I had the vaccine in October. I got the flu last week, all the same, diagnosed by a GP, this listener says, and now I have bronchitis. It is miserable. This vaccine, of course, won't stop each and every attack of the flu, but it will protect you to a large degree. Is that the case, Tony?
Yeah, well, no vaccine, particularly a flu vaccine, can be 100% effective because it's modelled based on what happened in the previous flu season, and the flu virus does change from season to season. But the evidence appears to be, and we won't know the full efficacy until after the flu season, but the evidence does suggest that it offers a good degree of protection. That's not to say that everyone that has the vaccine will be completely protected from the flu. But as that listener has emphasised, the flu is not a nice thing at all. And it is worth taking every step to protect yourself against it.
No, and I think just even anecdotally, if you're talking to people over the last week or two, people are very, very unwell and really wiped out by this version of it that's going around.
It's a nasty dose.
It is for sure a very nasty dose. Can I ask you about the HSE National Service Plan, which was published there this afternoon? The budget of €29 billion now. Have you had a chance to have a look at that, Tony?
Well, I've had a quick look. It's 94 pages of a lot of information, but there are some key highlights, one of which is the commitment, which the minister herself referenced this morning, to actually open the National Children's Hospital by this time next year. A significant emphasis on increased access, increased community and acute hospital beds, a number of measures aimed at improving access in the area of disability services, and probably one of the big projects that will commence under this service plan is digital transformation, electronic health records and so on. But that will only be the beginning next year. And they're planning to increase the health service workforce by 3,300 to a new high of 136,600. So there's a lot of stuff in there. I've only speed read it at this stage, and as I say, it's 94 pages long, but there's a lot of positive stuff.
And in terms of that, I think the one that the government will be highlighting, of course, is that €3.8 billion investment for disability services. That's a 20% increase on 2025. This is obviously a very politically sensitive one for this government, is it not?
It is, but it's also been a long-term challenge in terms of meeting the needs of people, particularly children with disabilities, within the health and social care service for quite some time. So I think the investment is timely and important, and the challenge that the service will have, obviously, is to put the services in place in a timely way and get that money spent in the most effective way possible. But it wouldn't be possible without the high-level commitment that's reflected in the service.
Indeed. And you mentioned there the Minister and the Children's Hospital. She was visiting the site today. Let's have a quick listen to what she said.
The key message today is that CHI are ready. We are ready to move into this hospital. And the more access that we get with BAM, the quicker we can do that work. So we're very, very pleased to be here today. It is behind where we would have liked to have been. We would have liked to have access sooner than this. But we are here today and we are here to work to get this hospital ready and open as soon as may be. It's a really important day.
So she's saying this time next year that we could be in there. You've been looking at this project for a long time, Tony. What do you think? Is that an optimistic assessment of the situation?
Well, I think it's two things. I think it's the minister keeping the pressure on to get that objective achieved. I think there is a degree of optimism, but also balanced with a bit of realism. I mean, what they were doing today was cleaning up the access route to enable them to begin bringing appropriate equipment onto the sixth floor. In other words, they're going to fill this floor, this hospital, up from the top down, which is quite typical with commissioning of new projects. So they're keeping the pressure on, but she was also balanced. You know, the timing of the opening will be influenced by what's happening in the health sector at the time. So, for example, if the hospital is ready to be commissioned in December next year, but we're in the middle of, say, a respiratory syncytial virus, which particularly affects the pediatric population, it may not be the right time to commission the hospital then. But she's absolutely right to keep the pressure on. Otherwise, you know, without keeping the foot on the pedal, deadlines can slip, and clearly we don't want that to slip anymore.
Well, indeed, yeah, there's been quite a lot of slippage there already. We will leave that there for now, though. Tony O'Brien, former Director General of the HSE, many thanks for joining me this evening.
Thank you, Katie.